God's word is kind of how we think of this Pentecost season. It's the season of the church that we are involved in. And today we'll hear God's word, sing his praises in the service of Matins. I don't think I have anything beforehand that I need to share. You noticed as you came in that Snohomish County has put the order out for masks to be worn indoors. And so we're, of course, following suit and listening to our leaders and what they have for us, trusting that they're looking out for our protection and our good. So we'll continue with that. So let's continue by singing our first hymn, As You're Able, Please Stand.
Joyful voice to give as songs of praise. Blessed be God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Please be seated for our readings. Our reading from the psalm today comes from Psalm 34, and we read responsibly, whole verse by whole verse. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good?
Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit.
Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it.
And the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry.
The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth.
When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles.
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all.
He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken.
Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned.
The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. We sing.
Sunday after Pentecost, the Old Testament reading is from Proverbs 9, 1 through 10. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has set out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she said, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instructions to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Ephesians 5, 6 through 21. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me. And I am him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. And when many of his disciples heard it, they said, This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe, and who it was who would betray him. And he said, This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, Do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
We sing our hymn, O God, my faithful God. Please be seated.
Thank you. of Jesus. Amen. From John chapter 6, we read that whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Over the last 3 weeks, we've been focused in the gospel readings on John chapter 6. And this is the third and final passage from this section of the Bread of Life discourse, as we call it. And if you've been here the last couple Sundays, we've been focusing in our message on John 6. A couple weeks ago, Vicar Leslie, he focused on the first part about what satisfies you. The bread of life that satisfies, what's on your plate, who are you getting your satisfaction from? And then last week, we reflected on the bread of life again as the bread of life that raises, the bread of life that raises us from death to life and to new life. And then this week, as you've noticed perhaps, that we're seeing the end of Jesus' discourse and perhaps the most controversial for the people listening. The whole time they're questioning him throughout, wondering how can he speak this way? Isn't this Joseph's boy and Mary's boy? Well, and dealing with the fact that he is the bread of life. But here Jesus takes it a step further to really cause division, to bring him a hard saying. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me. The bread of life abides. That's our focus today. That the bread of life is in you. The bread of life abides. And maybe you're wondering, what can make this saying hard for the people of Israel? What makes it maybe a little easier for us? Well, in the first instance, it's kind of obvious what is hard for them to hear or realize or to listen to is when Jesus is actually saying, you have to feed on my flesh and blood. And if you look at the original word there is actually more along the lines of chewing. You actually have to chew to drink my flesh and blood. As you might know, that's kind of goes into this category of maybe cannibalism or very touchy-feely kind of areas where perhaps these people were actually thinking that's what Jesus is calling them to do. And the idea is not so much there, but it is a hard saying that Jesus is telling you, you have to eat and feed off my flesh and my blood. But it's not too hard for us here to know or to take that or receive it. Because we do eat his flesh and blood at the altar. When we receive the Lord's Supper, it's his flesh and his blood that we receive. Jesus has given it to us. And so John here is merely showing that this was a hard saying, and it could even still be a hard saying for us. But we do eat and drink his flesh and blood. Jesus abides in you. He is in you. It's what we do here. It's what we receive. We literally do it. We literally receive his body and blood. And so that saying is not so hard for us, probably, because we do know we do it and we receive it. And so Jesus abides in you. Now, I think it's the second instance that's maybe harder for us in our day, because it's the manner in which Jesus abides in you. Because you know for certain and assuredly that Jesus abides in you, and you do not need to question it because you're here, you received it, and you know how he does it. It's in baptism when you were first brought in and where Jesus was put on you, much like what Paul tells us in Galatians. You have put on Christ. Jesus abides in you because you eat and drink of the body and blood that he gives you. You are certain and assured of it. You're in his church. He's in his church. He's in the word that's spoken through the church. He's in the waters of baptism that you've been baptized into. He's in the bread and wine that he promised to you to be his body and blood. Jesus is not out there in the trees or in the forest or in the sun. Jesus is in his church. And you know for certain that he is in you because he has spoken through his church to you. He enters your ears as you hear the word. He enters your body as you feed off of his body and blood at the table. Jesus Christ abides in you. You receive it. You taste it. You have been washed in it. And now Jesus abides in you, and there's just three things that happen to you. three things that affect you. And that's perhaps harder for us to acknowledge, harder for us to see, and maybe even harder for us to accept. Because Jesus abides in you, the first effect that it has on you is that you are not alone. Even though it can sometimes feel or be that way. We do continue to endure another pandemic. And I'm not talking about the one that persists even today, as it seems like we step back from where we thought we were going. But we have not talked a lot about the loneliness pandemic. Even back in 2017, that former U.S. Surgeon General, I have his name, I had to write it down, or hers, Vivek Murthy, back in 2017, called loneliness a public health epidemic. In the United Kingdom, they actually have a minister of loneliness that they establish, an office where there's someone in charge of loneliness. These things are not new, because now we have to practice social distancing more, self-isolation, shelter in place. These things have been going on, and now the problem has only increased. Our own loneliness. Loneliness that perhaps children feel when parents are too busy working, wives whose husbands are practically married to work, or worse, whatever sports happen to be on for the season. Even on social media, you can have countless friends, yet still no one to listen to you or talk to. Sometimes the worst thing we could do with loneliness is to isolate ourselves more and force our own loneliness. We pull away when we need people the most. When do we need our community? Why? Perhaps it's because we have a sense that we know what is better for us rather than trusting in what God has given us to be a part of. Loneliness can be forced on us in a burden we bear, and at the same time, sometimes believe it's what's better for us. But Jesus doesn't allow us to be alone. Because we're never alone. Jesus abides in you. Jesus remains in you, and he dwells in you. Even on our darkest days, the Lord would not have us face the darkness alone, because Jesus abides in you. And that leads me to the second effect that happens when Jesus abides in you. Because Jesus abides in you, you are known. Many of you know that successful marriages do not happen unless husband and wife are seeking to understand one another. And the simple reason is because we have to know one another. We long to be known by someone. We long for someone to understand us. And so this is what it means for Jesus to abide in us. That the effect of Jesus abiding in us is that he knows us completely. He knows who you are, and he understands you. Not just in the way that he became flesh and understands our life because he experienced it, but he knows you personally because he has come to you personally and has known you. The promise of Jesus abiding in us means Jesus truly knows you and he still loves you. That's why when it comes to Jesus abiding in us, he can abide in us because it's a beautiful thing that we are understood. That he knows the trials and hurts we go through because he's done it too and has gone through it. The Lord does understand. And he comes to in love to break away that loneliness so that you are not alone, but also to abide and know you and who you are completely. But there still remains that third effect of Jesus abiding in you, and it's perhaps the most scandalous for us. Because while the followers might have had the hardest time believing that they must eat his body and drink his blood, this third effect of Jesus abiding in you is the hardest one for us to swallow. Because Jesus abides in you, you are not your own. That can be a frightening thought. Doesn't sound like good news, because we are self-reliant people. We're independent. We're probably even more frustrated when we think about our own governments or employers or outside social things that seem to affect us and force us into situations that we don't have ownership, telling us that we don't have ownership of our own bodies, of our own life. It doesn't sound like good news to know that you are not your own. But it's only a bad thing if the one who owns you is not self-centered, is not self-serving. But if the one who owns you is capable of and willing to do what is best for you, there is nothing more freeing. For the one who owns you is the Lord himself, because he abides in you, and you are brought into his life because you were bought with a price. You are not your own, but you are owned by the Lord and Creator, the one who purchased you in Jesus Christ, who went to the cross to die, to rise, to bring you into his care, into his reign and rule. You are not your own because Jesus Christ abides in you, and you are now owned by him. But this is the challenge that's placed on us. For since you're not your own, or as Paul likes to put it in 1 Corinthians, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Paul says, so glorify God in your body. The challenge is how might you glorify God in your bodies? Or better, what would your life look like if you believed your body was not your own? It's not the perfect analogy, but it may be the difference between how you look at renting a car and borrowing your mother's car. Renting a car, it's easy to use it and abuse it and perhaps not care for it as much because it's a rental. But when it comes to your mother's, I know for me, I have to take care of that, keep track of the miles, make sure it's filled up when I return. It's not the perfect analogy. But if you were to live as if your body was not your own, you'll start to look differently. You might begin by looking around at your neighbors, in your homes, in your church, in your community. You might end up working fewer hours to build up your family relationships. You might miss a game or an event to spend time with your wife. You might call a friend you haven't seen in a while to go out for coffee. You see, the promise that Jesus gives is that Jesus Christ abides in you. And the promise at the end of the day is that Jesus promises to change you, to satisfy you, to raise you to new life, and to abide in you, to bring you into the world for what it really is, so that you might be enlivened to live rightly within it. Jesus Christ gives you divine and eternal gifts, his very body and his blood when we receive it. And as a result, he turns us away from ourselves to the people who need us most, the people right in front of us. Jesus Christ abides in you. You are no longer alone. And you are certainly known, and you are not on your own. As you go into the next week, ask yourself what it means to live as if this is actually true. And maybe you'll find that what you have to offer is something your neighbor needs. For Jesus abides in you. Now live by his example. In the name of Jesus, amen. We continue with our hymn, Rejoice, O Pilgrim Throng, on page 8 of your worship folder.
The sing our canticle. We praise you and acknowledge you, O God. Please be seated. People and language, and for all those who hunger for the true bread of life.
Merciful God, hear our prayer.
O God, grant us always food that endures to eternal life. Bless the ministry of St. Timothy in our community, that many may embrace Jesus Christ and believe that he is the true source of life. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Almighty God, protect your people from the impurities of this world. Save us from the violence outside ourselves and from hardness of heart within. By your righteous governance, preserve and guide the leaders of our nation as they execute justice in our land. By your Holy Spirit, change hardened hearts with the gospel, that true peace may be established. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, by your Holy Spirit, change our old nature into your new creation in Jesus Christ. Enable us to cling to your word, that true unity may replace disunity and the spirit of love abound. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, bestow your power of healing upon the sick, especially Wayne, Pastor Flat, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Mel, Thurza, Debbie, Bella, Ava, Esther, and Samantha. That in accordance with your will, they may give thanks to your name. Give your spirit of hope to the depressed, the lonely, and those who mourn the death of loved ones, especially the families of Sandra Ewell and Alex Webster. Strengthen their faith and assure them of your presence in all circumstances. We also ask that you comfort members of our fellowship who are homebound, especially Barbara, Millie, Sylvia, Gertrude, Mary, Thurza, and Jim. May we continue to connect them to your church by our prayers and visits. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Bless us, Lord, we ask for a spirit of gratitude and to turn away all grumbling, for you continually feed us in both body and soul. Bless us not with what we want, but with what we need. In your grace in Jesus Christ, merciful God, hear our prayer.
Within the fold of your tender care, O Father, we entrust these petitions to you, that you might hear us, teach us your word, and feed us with the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, whom to know is everlasting life, grant us to know your Son, Jesus, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all.
Amen.
We sing our closing hymn, Sent Forth by God's Blessing. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Insert in your bulletin with some announcements.